Certainly a blessing to be in the Lord's house and to be gathered with God's people, and very thankful for the prayer that Brother Darrell publicly offered on our behalf, and would ask that you would continue to pray that God would bless us for the time that I stand before you this morning, and that we might come away with something beneficial to our lives. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." There's a real purpose in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're like me, when I was a young person, I didn't spend a lot of time reading the Bible nor studying the Word of God. And, you know, I wonder sometimes if I wasn't attempting to preach the Word of God, would I study as I ought to? The greatest book ever written, the most knowledgeable being in the universe, God Himself, inspired men to pen the words that are written here for our learning. There's something apparently that you and I, as God's people, can learn from His Word. And yet, God is not going to likely give you a vision each and every night or each and every day that you might learn the things that you need to know. If you are not willing to study God's Word, then you're not going to know what you should know. You're not going to learn what you should learn. Now, that being said, I think it's important that you pray when you study. It's important that you pray for the services when some man is trying to preach the Word of God. You know, the disciples came along with Jesus Christ for many years, and at the end of the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Jesus had told them some things pertaining to His death and burial and resurrection, things that were going to take place very shortly. And they still didn't understand. And it says, then opened he their understanding. I believe it's in verse 45 that they might understand the Scriptures. It takes God opening your understanding if you're to ever understand the Scriptures. And you know, none of us will ever fully and completely understand the Scriptures. But what we do understand it, I think, has to be read in a methodical way, in a slow way. It has to be read regularly, and it has to be done prayerfully. And I believe if we do that, then God will bless us with some things that will help us in this life that other folks don't have. You know, back over in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ told those Jews which believed on His name, "If you continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed." A true disciple, according to Jesus Christ, is one that continues in His word. You know, life is fast and furious. There are things that we like and things that we do not like. But a continuation in the study of God's Word, and the reading a little bit of God's Word every day. I'm not talking about studying it out, maybe as a preacher or a minister of the gospel might, but making that a daily habit of yours has great benefit. And yet, sometimes in life, it seems so hard to find the time. We have to be willing. If you continue in My Word, He told those Jews, and these were believers, because there was Jews in John 8 that did not believe. He said, if you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's something about God's truth when God blesses us and opens our understanding that we might understand the Scriptures that gives us the freedom that so many of God's children don't have. And as I've lived through the course of life, to when you come and encounter someone that does not have that freedom, has not been freed from that yoke of bondage, I'm telling you, You can praise God with all your mind and all your heart for that truth that He has planted within you, that you're not living a life in fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. We're not to live life in fear of what might happen, because we've been saved by God's grace and God's grace alone. That's what we've been saved by. But the Scriptures are for our learning, for our teaching, for our understanding, to understand why we live here on this earth, to understand why God breathed life into your nostrils and you became a living soul. Have you ever wondered, why am I here and what is my purpose? What am I doing? You know, James says our life is but a vapor that appears for just a little bit of time and it's going to vanish away. You know, we're all decaying. That's the honest truth. We are. From the day we're born, we're decaying. Everything in this earth is decaying. You know, there's only one place I know of where decay will not happen, and that's in heaven, a place that you and I look forward to going. But until that day, We know that all things in this earth, including us, are decaying. They're passing away. They're withering away day by day, month by month, and year by year. So as we live here, we want to worship God, and we want to learn what our purpose is, I hope, that we might live our lives to His honor, for His praise, and unto His glory. Now, with that being said, I want to turn and look at an entirely different subject, you might say, over in the book of Psalms. And it's one that I think we need to have some understanding about, if possible. It's one that, you know, we all might struggle with, and one that we might understand at times. In Psalms 144, I want to read the last phrase. It's broken up into two phrases. But in 144, verse 15, it says, "Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." My subject this morning is happiness. You know, I don't believe there's probably any of us here today that have not experienced happiness at some point. But what we want to look at is it possible to be happy throughout, constantly, consistently, not just temporarily, but every day that you and I live? Can you be happy? Now, I can tell you there's coming a day. There's coming a day when you close your eyes in this life and you open them in the presence of Jesus Christ, that you will be happy, and that'll never change. It'll never change. Because when you die, this mortal death, when this corrupt body puts on incorruptness, when this mortal body puts on immortality, change will cease to be in our lives. I mean, isn't that a miraculous thing? We'll never change anymore because time never exists. Time brings about change. And over the course of time, you can look in the mirror and look back upon your photos, look back at your health, and there's no doubt. We can all say that we're fading away. We're decaying. We're not getting better. We're getting worse, at least in this old mortal body. But there is coming a day that you will be satisfied. I don't care if you're the most unhappy person that ever walked the face of the earth. If you've never seen a good day, you know, there are those kind of folks. There are those kind of folks that seem like they've just never had much to be happy about. But there's coming a day, if they're a child of God, they're going to be happy, completely satisfied. They're going to be like David when he said, "When I awaken in thy likeness, I'll be satisfied." Do you know that satisfied is a synonym of happiness? Satisfaction? David said, "We're going to be happy." And because Jesus Christ never changes, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then you and I will never change. So if you're made or you're changed like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're glorified and sin is put away, this no longer have that sin reigning in our mortal bodies, death has no more power over us, no matter what you're like in this life or how it is in this life, you're going to be happy. You're going to be satisfied, and that's never going to end. And I just say hallelujah, praise the Lord for that day. Now, I believe the challenge that stands before us today is can we have lasting happiness in the life in which we live? Or is it only temporary? I believe every one of us have experienced what we would call temporary happiness. When you met your spouse, I expect you were very happy. When you got married, I expect you were very happy. When you had your children, there was probably an experience of happiness unlike any other time. Maybe you work at a job in town and you got this big raise. And that brought about a degree of happiness that you hadn't experienced and exciting. It gave you a little more money to spend. And likely many of us in this world today went out and leveraged ourselves a little bit more. But soon that temporal blessing passes away and you need another raise if you're going to experience that happiness again. My whole point is God blesses us with temporal things in this life. But they're not what will give us lasting joy and lasting happiness. Notice what this verse says. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. What does that mean? Think about it for just a moment. First of all, the word God is capitalized. That means the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the only true and living God. David himself said here, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. What does it mean, Lord? Lord literally means to rule and to reign. You could just as easily say, happy is that people whom Jesus Christ rules and reigns in their heart every day of their life. I believe that. You know, some people might disagree with this statement, but I've known some people, and they're not in the majority, that seem to be happy every day and every encounter that I've known them. Now, when you go out and meet folks just on occasion, you might see a happy day, or they might be able to fool you and make out like they're happy. But when you get to know people, when you live with someone as a husband and a spouse, I can tell you right now, you know when they're happy. Elder Michael Goins wrote a book called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. One of the best books that I've ever written that he wrote. It's not doctrinal. It's about the Christian walk in this life and about the troubles we encounter. I would highly encourage any of you, and I know some of you in this congregation have read it, but it's one of the best books he's ever wrote. It doesn't have anything to do with about the doctrines of grace. It just has to do about what you and I encounter as Christians in this walk here in this life. But he made a statement that I believe can go very much along with what we're talking about today. He said, what the heart feels, the face reveals. I tell you what, when somebody's truly happy and excited, they can't hide it. Unfortunately, when they're very unhappy, when they're very upset, when trouble is all they have in their life, they can't hide that either. So our countenance, you know, over in Psalms 42, David asked himself this question, why are they cast down, O my soul? He's talking about his countenance, his expression, his face. Why was he so cast down? You know, my whole point in bringing that out is our face can tell 1,000 words. It can tell 1,000 things. Most people that know us very well, they know when we're happy. They know when we're unhappy because the face tells it. You remember that old song you used to sing when you was a little kid? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And the third Santa said, if you're happy and you know it, your face will surely show it. That's the absolute truth. You can't fool anybody that really knows you. If somebody tells you that they're happy and yet they have no expressions of happiness or joy, you can stand pretty assured that they're not truly a happy person, or the happiness that they have is not lasting. Because it's hard to hold back a person that's truly happy, a person that's truly filled with joy. They'll express that as they walk and journey through life. Now, as I said, I believe we've all encountered and experienced times of tremendous happiness in our life. But the challenge as a child of God is for that to be a part of our everyday life, something that we need every day, that we're not like a roller coaster. You know, some of us live life, or a lot of us, I'd say the majority of us, with ups and downs. We're in the valleys, we're on top of the mountains, and sometimes they're in between. And those that know us well know when we're in the valley. They know when we're on the mountaintop. But then occasionally you'll find somebody that seems to stay on the mountaintop. You know what the people who are in the valley would say about those folks? It's not real. It's fake. But there are those folks out there that it is real. And there's a difference, I believe, in how those folks view this world and this life in which they live than the rest of us. Now, I want to read a definition. I've got a couple things to read here today, but I want to read a definition of happiness out of the Webster's 1828 dictionary. It says, being in the enjoyment of agreeable sensations from the possession of good. That's one definition. Enjoying pleasure from the gratification of appetites and desires. And we all know that when our appetite is fulfilled, whether it be food or something out in this world, or we have a great desire to have something or go somewhere, when that God blesses that to happen in our life, a lot of times we're extremely happy, are we not? You know, I know folks here that's got to go on some tremendous vacations, and when they get on that plane to leave, they're extremely happy. I mean, their desires are being fulfilled. It's a time of great happiness in their life. Goes on to say, the pleasurable sensations derived from the gratification of sensual appetites render a person temporarily happy. Temporarily happy. I think we've all had temporal happiness in our life, but the challenge before us is to have lasting happiness. Now, I just stated a little while ago that one day we're going to close our eyes in this life, and the book's going to be closed as a tale that is told in the 90th Psalms, and I promise you, based upon the word of God, you are going to be happy even if you never had a happy day in this life and you belong to him. If he paid for you, not with gold and silver, but with his precious blood, you're going to enjoy life or enjoy eternity in a way that you never enjoyed it here on this earth. But I believe there's a whole lot more to that life right here and now. You know what concerns you and I, honestly, is we look forward to that day, but we want to deal with what's going on right now, don't we? We want to be happy right now to the best of our ability. I believe every child of God desires happiness, whether they've attained it or not. We desire it. It's something that changes us. You know, a person that's truly happy has an energy about them that's infectious. Do you like to be around people that are troubled all the time, that are dissatisfied all the time, that are depressed all the time? Things go on and on. I'm going to look at some antonyms and some synonyms. In other words, and it'll give us an idea of what happiness really is. You know, happiness sometimes is what we choose it to be. We're told over in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, it says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you think you're never going to be happy, it's a good chance you'll never be happy. If you think this world is going to give you lasting happiness, it's unlikely you're ever going to achieve it there too. Like I said, the challenge before us today is to live a life that is happy every day. And you know, to some of us, that seems totally and completely impossible. How can I, with all these troubles, how can I, with the difficulties and burdens I bear, how can I possibly be happy? I'm sick all the time. I'm troubled all the time. My children do this and that all the time. I mean, on and on can go the list of what troubles you. Let's finish reading this definition. It says, the pleasurable sensations derived from the gratification of sensual appetites render a person temporarily happy. But he can only be esteemed really and permanently happy who enjoys peace of mind. Keep that in thought. Peace of mind in the favor of God. Now, you know, some people do not have lasting happiness. And I can't say that I'm one of them that do. This sermon is much or more for me than it is for anyone. But I know a few folks that I have never seen them when they didn't seem happy, when they didn't offer up a smile. They wasn't complaining. They wasn't telling you about how bad life was. There was something in these individuals, and I know several of them. You know some of them. It's just something different about these folks, and it's something that gives me an energy, and it tells me there is an opportunity for each and every one of us to be that way. Some people will say, well, I'm just not like that. I can't do that. But that's trying to justify what your own actions. And actually, that's blaming God for how you are. And that's not where we're at. And that's not what we're going to do. Happy is that people for whom in their heart the Lord Jesus Christ rules and reigns every day. That's what that verse means. Do you get up and say, Lord, what would you have me to do today? Help me if I encounter certain people, to give them a smile, to give them a word of encouragement. This is on the job, in the family, everywhere you go. You know, we ought to be more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ every day that we live. Question is, do you really want to be happy? Is it worth the effort? Is it worth the peace of mind? Do you know that peace of mind is a synonym for happiness? It's impossible to be at peace and not be happy. I believe that. Some people are going to argue that, but I believe the Word of God tells you it's impossible. Let's notice what some of the synonyms are, which are things that are very much like happiness, delight, contentment. Can you imagine that being content is the same as being happy? An unhappy person is never content. It's never right. They're always seeking something. There's something out there they always need. They're never content. Elation, enjoyment, glee, and joy. Joy is happiness. You know, as Jesus Christ said in John chapter 15, he said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Jesus was desired that you lived a life of happiness. Believe it or not, he desired that. But there's some things that we must do. Jubilation, laughter, optimism. That tells me that the person that never laughs, the person that never has any optimism, is never optimistic, is always pessimistic, is a person that's not really very happy. Now, like I said, we all have bouts. We like a roller coaster, some of us are. We're down at the bottom, we're on the top, and we're somewhere in between. But you know, happiness is something that we've been blessed to have in this life. You know, maybe what brings you happiness, and I know I speak for myself and some of these folks, when your team wins the big game. But do you know it ain't long till that levels back out and you need your team to win the big game again to reach up to that big area of happiness? It's a temporal thing. That's where we're getting at. That's temporary. It's not lasting. It's like a drug addict that needs a fix. We always need something new to lift us up to that degree of happiness that we have seen or known in the past of our lives. Is it possible to be that way every day, every part of our life? To some degree, it seems impossible, doesn't it? With all the trials and all the tribulations and all the difficulties that we encounter, is it possible to really be happy? Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. The Bible says it can be done. Even though many of us have our doubts, it can be done. Let's notice some of the antonyms for person. This is the opposite of happiness. Depression, despair, discouragement. You know, people that are constantly discouraged are people that are not very happy. Displeasure, dissatisfaction, people who are not satisfied are people who are not truly happy. Gloom, melancholy, misery. Do you know anybody that's miserable? Maybe we've all been miserable at times. Maybe we've all been extremely happy at times. But it talks about pain and sadness and sorrow and trouble. Keep that word trouble. Remember, peace of mind is a synonym. It means happiness. Upset, woe, and worry. On goes the list of these things that are opposite of happiness. Our text said, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now, I believe happiness is a state of mind. It's an emotional state. You might say it's a quality or a trait. It defines to some degree our being, at least at the present time. I desire to be happy all the time, and I'll be honest with you, I need to work on this probably more than anyone in this congregation. But you know, it's like I used to tell Sister Suzanne, even though I may not apply the truth to my life, I will not deny the truth. You know, applying the truth to our lives is a challenge. It's a big challenge sometimes. A challenge that you and I cannot possibly overcome. If we do not pray and we do not teach, read, and be taught of God's word. Let's go back in this same chapter and begin reading at verse 11 and notice what he says, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strangers, strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood. In other words, David is asking that God would deliver him from ungodly people, from the wicked. The children of Israel were God's chosen people in that day, and he wanted delivered from those folks, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that they may be strong in the Lord, grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones, immovable, polished, after the solitude of the palace, that our garners may be full, our granaries may be full, affording all manner of store or nourishment, that our houses may be full of food, our granaries may be full, that we may have plenty to eat, that the blessings that sustain us every day might be bountiful, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. That's the first half of that verse. When we're in that case in life and things are going along smoothly and the Lord seems to be blessing our family and our work and all that's going on, we oftentimes are certainly happier than we are at other times, are we not? When God blesses us with good crops, I farmed all my life. When our children seem to be going along as we might want them to go, and we're enjoying the company of our grandchildren, and on goes the list of things that are temporal, sustaining, that make us happy, and they're from God's hand. They ought to be a blessing that brings happiness to our life. But he ends down there in that verse saying, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy, truly happy, is a person for whom the Lord Jesus Christ rules and reigns in their heart. Colossians chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 15, long in there, says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Let God's peace rule and reign in your hearts. Remember, one of the synonyms of happiness is peace of mind. You know, when you truly have peace of mind, the noise that surrounds you, from the closest to your family to the furthest out in this world, will not have the same effect on you that it does many of God's people. I bring this message because God's people sometimes are so unhappy for so many reasons. Things are not right in their family. Things are not right in the nation. And I mean, you don't have to look very far to find trouble in something that's not right. This brings me to John chapter 16 and verse 33 concerning this very instance of happiness. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Remember, one of the synonyms of happiness is peace of mind. Are we at peace in our hearts? Is God's peace ruling and reigning in our hearts? Because if it's not, our hearts are likely to be stirred at many times when we don't have that peace. And I tell you, I tell you right now, it's like Brother Ricky Harker used to say, it's easy to preach and hard to live. That's exactly what this is. It's a lot easier to preach it than it is to live it. But I believe if we can be happy, if Jesus Christ rules and reigns every day in our heart, not just on Sunday or when times get really bad and tough and rough. You know, we all draw closer to God when things are really bad. But the Bible says, draw nigh unto God and God will draw nigh unto you. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? You know, unbelief is a great problem we have. We declare we believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of sinners. But do we really believe what He said? If we did, I think we would really apply that to our life and it would make tremendous differences in our life. Remember in Mark chapter 9 when this father brought his son, and this is not a tale but a story. His father, this son had a devil, was possessed with the devil. It seems as though he had epilepsy. He would fall down into the fire and he would foam at the mouth, and the father brought this son to the disciples, and the disciples could not cast out the devil. And he came to Jesus and he asked Jesus to have mercy upon him. And that he told Jesus his disciples could not cast out this devil. And Jesus just said, "If thou believest, all things are possible to him that believe." That's another. Do we believe that? And he yelled out with a loud voice, "I believe." He said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." You know that unbelief is a sin? I know that each one of us here today believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of our souls. Question is He the Lord of our life? A lot of things can be the Lord of our life. That's why that word God is capitalized with a capital G. Because they are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of little gods that rule and reign in our heart. They take our life and they tell us we need temporary satisfaction or temporary happiness. You know, even Satan is aware of this. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." He says, "In the world, you shall have trouble." Trouble is an antonym for unhappiness. If you want to find unhappiness, spend your time searching for happiness in the world. You may find temporary happiness, but it won't last. The message today is, do you want lasting happiness in your life? We need that. We need that. Does Jesus Christ rule and reign? Is He the Lord of your life? You know, I question that about myself. It's so easy to get caught up in the world and in the things going on, the noise that surrounds us in our families, in our communities, in our state, in our nations. The list goes on and on and on. You know, sometimes the Bible says the Lord won't give us more than we can stand. But you know, how many times have you stood up and say, "Lord, I don't know if I can stand this any longer." But somehow or other, we put one foot in front of the other and we go on. We need God's help every day in our life. James said in the book of James, It says we're to draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto us. You know, God is never far away. He's always nigh. But Satan is always close by too, looking for an entrance. You know, Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, in verse 10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm going to tell you, an abundant life is a life of happiness. But I tell you right now, it's when we are fellowshipping and communing with Jesus Christ daily. And friends, I'm here to tell you, many of God's children have a hard time with that. I know that I have. You know, I get caught up in what I got to do today and what I want to do today and what somebody else wants me to do today. And pretty soon, if I'm not careful, the Lord is nowhere to be seen or thought of in my mind. You know, I thought this morning, I need to get up and I need to ask the Lord, what would you have me to do today? Or if I encounter a person, how would you have me to act to them? You know, that's the whole thing about discipleship, is conforming yourself to be more like Jesus Christ. You know, we can't save anybody. We can't heal anybody. But I'll tell you right now, we can visit folks. We can talk to them as Jesus would have talked to them. We can encourage people every day that we live, because God has been so good to us. True happiness can only be found, lasting happiness can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a verse, a few verses that are indirectly, I just like the analogy given in Ephesians chapter 4 concerning happiness. It says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by which the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. All I want out of this is the analogy that was used there. We so often think that the way to be happy is all these temporal things that are here today and gone tomorrow out here in this world. And we strive to have lasting happiness by grabbing hold of those things. There are many religious people who are not grounded in the truth, who are not established in God's truth, that are being carried about by every wind of doctrine. They're like waves upon the ocean being tossed to and fro. When you and I seek to find our real happiness in this life and this life alone, you're just like those people that are seeking the stability of the Lord Jesus Christ in every wind that blows by. I've known people like that. They don't study the Word of God, and every time something new comes along, they grab a hold of it. They want to believe, but they're not established in the Word of God. Friends, there's a reason that this book was given. I find it interesting that the most of my life, this book was somewhere to be had in close by. And yet, I give it very little thought. I'll just be honest with you. I never read it. I didn't see a need for it. But maybe God has blessed me to open my eyes that there is no greater book and no greater need than the Word of God. Because God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. There is no new truth. The measurement of all truth is found in the Word of God. And if you want to live life to where you're not shaken, your foundation is not shaken by everything that comes along, and you truly want to be happy, then you must draw nigh unto God. And part of drawing nigh unto God is drawing yourselves unto His Word. You notice that we're to draw nigh unto God first before He draws nigh unto us? That means we're to step forward first. We're to do something first. You know, Jesus said in John 10, He said, I came that you might have an abundant life. That was the desire that Christ had for us. I believe that envelops a happy life. But He said there's a thief out there, and the thief's name is Satan. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to kill your joy, and if possible, destroy any hope you have in this life to be happy. Do you know that? And you'd be surprised at how often he has accomplished that in the world in which we live. I'm telling you, I know some folks that certainly are happy nearly all the time, but I know a lot that are never happy. They seem to never have that happiness. But I want to be happy all the time. I hope you do. And I believe God's word tells us how to accomplish that. These things were written for our learning and for our comfort. There's a purpose that we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It wasn't just something to do to take up your spare time. It's something to do to enhance your life here where you live upon the earth, to make your life far better. But somehow or other, our old carnal nature drives us on. We're always tempted to the things that are outside of the realm of God to bring us happiness. And God blesses those things to pass sometimes, but they never last. We always need another fix. You see, Jesus is the same today and every day. He never changes. That's why if you have peace of mind in Jesus Christ, if His peace rules and reigns in your heart, if He is the Lord of your life, your happiness won't change. But if you're seeking happiness in all other places, you're going to have a hard time obtaining it, at least on anything other than a temporary basis. I want to go and spend just a few minutes in Psalms 1 and then close out. The word blessed in the Psalms 1 and verse 1 means happiness or happy. And I find it interesting here. It says, happy is the man, or blessed is the man. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, you might say, I try not to walk in the area of the wicked. But I believe this talks about God's children who have strayed away from God even, many of them, and are walking in the ways of the world. And many of the ways of this world are ungodly. Happy is the man that does not walk in the advice of this world, the ungodly world in which we live. He goes on to say, happy or blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of sinners. That word standeth means to abide. Does not abide in the way, in the pathway of sinners. Let me give you an example of how I believe this really is. I said I know a few folks that seem to be happy all the time, and there's a few of those folks that you know too. But it's not the vast majority. Over in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, there are two verses, verses 13 and 14, that talk about two ways. And unfortunately, we find as God's children oftentimes that one way is a lot more tempting to go through and to attain to than the other. The contrast of those ways, one way is straight and it's narrow. The other way is broad and wide. It's a wide gate and a broad way. In that wide gate and that broad way, it's heavily traveled. That's where most of the Lord's people are going, because I believe those two verses pertain to the Lord's people. You know, if you've ever heard how sheep are, they love to follow one another, even if it's right off of the cliff. That's their tendency, that's their nature, and it's no different with us. Most of God's people want to do what everybody else is doing. They really do. And if that way is extremely traveled, if there's a lot of folks in that way, traveling down that way, then it must be the right way, mustn't it? Is that not the way that we think? It must be the way that we go. Everybody else is going that way. They got to be right. But it tells us that that way leads to destruction and misery. It leads to unhappiness. But the other way is a straight path and a narrow way. Straight gate and a narrow way that leadeth to life. And I believe those few folks that are truly happy all the time, regardless of the circumstances or the trouble that they encounter in their life, are those people who commune and fellowship with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Lord of their life every day. They don't allow the noise of this world to overtake them. They're not concerned about doing what everybody else does, because by nature, we think that's where happiness will lead us, or that'll lead us to happiness. It's so easy to go through the wide gate and the broad way, because that's where the majority's going. And we certainly don't want to be left behind or be left out. We want to get in. We want to be included in all that they might gather. It's easy to do. You know, the Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate. One of the most difficult things for the child of God is to separate himself from the world. Because even many of God's people are going through that wide gate and that broad way. It says we're not to abide in the way of sinners, which we're all sinners, and we've all come short of the glory. But those that are going out in a sinful way, doing sinful things, separate yourself from them. It also says, happy is the man who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. In other words, those folks that have been blessed of God that have become prideful. They're lifted up in pride and they're haughty. They look down upon the oppressed, the humble, the meek, the lowly. Very easy to do, is it not? I believe that those people who are truly happy in the Lord, as that verse, as our text said, happy is that people whose God is the Lord, are those people who are able to go down that straight and narrow way. It's a lonely road. It's not very heavily traveled. There's not many folks going down it. Both, it's the road of discipleship. It's a road where Jesus Christ is the Lord and the ruler of our life every day. Like I said, it's easy to preach and it's hard to live. It certainly is for me. But if we do not deny the truth of God's word, we know it's possible. Well, we have to have a closeness unto the Lord that, you know, maybe we've never had. Maybe we've never felt. We find in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Are you happy to suffer for the sake of righteousness? If you are, true, that's being happy in the Lord. You know, Paul was happy to suffer for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ because he lived his life with a view that went beyond the temporal things that he enjoys from day to day. He realized every day that he got up that one day he would have perfect, never-ending happiness in the presence of Jesus Christ in heaven. And it's hard sometimes to live our life and keep that picture in front of us at all times. But I believe that's what we have to do if we're really to have happiness in our life and peace of mind. When you have peace of mind and you do not have fear, the things of this world will not shake your foundation. The troubles that you encounter, even though they're saddened, you always look to a bigger and a better day. No matter who may have passed that you love before you, you know there's a day you'll be where they are. And that happiness will be in your life forever. And that the things of this life will be put away. That sin will no more longer reign in your mortal body. Death will no longer have power over you. You will never die again. We've always got to keep those things in mind if we're to let Jesus Christ be the Lord of our life, to rule and reign in our life. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord in your heart. You know, I can't tell you how to do this. You know, there's one thing I learned. I can't make anybody hear the word of God, and I'm not even going to attempt to. If God has not opened a man's heart, he has not the eyes or the ears to hear. It will have no effect upon him. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, life can be very troubling. We all know that. We've all experienced great happiness in our life. But I think every child of God desires a day in their life that happiness will never end. And I know that day is certainly coming when we go to heaven. But I believe it's possible now. But it's only possible if Jesus Christ is everything to us. You know, Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In other words, in Christ, we have everything. Not only do we have hope beyond this life, we have fulfillment in this life, right here and now. We must draw nigh unto him first. If he's to draw nigh unto us. It is my hope and prayer that these words may have touched you in some way. I know that God's people desire happiness and they desire it all the time. But sometimes we seek happiness that's only temporal and then we need another fix. But really what I want is peace of mind. Jesus said, peace is in him, joy is in him, and unless we have a fellowship and a communion with our Lord that the Bible teaches us, we're not going to know that peace in this life. Some might say, well, that's not going to affect me going to heaven. Well, it very well may not, but it can affect how you live your life out every day here in this world. If you know people that are miserable, who are never happy, you know, you likely don't want to be around them anymore than you have to, because they're not an encouragement to you. But boy, when you're around somebody that's happy and they're full of joy in the Lord, I tell you, it just does something for you. It makes your life a whole lot different. It makes you be able to take things that you encounter in this life with a different light, with a different perception, because they are temporal. This is not our home. Heaven is our home. I thank you for your attention. May God bless you is my prayer.